Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, and yes, apparently, it's the third day of January 2023, and this is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, and our job is to try to say what's happening from the point of view of Franz Fanon, to help our community read their world. So without further ado, I'm just going to tell you the theme, because you know we are anti-imperialist. You know we are anti-capitalist. You know we are pro-political prisoners. You know we are pro-revolution and the overthrow of the upper classes that are oppressing us. So without further ado, what's the theme? And I need you to listen very carefully, because we hope this will be a teaching moment for some of our people in the public. And what we're saying is Orwell, that is George Orwell, Google him. Orwell's prediction is happening now. What's happening? Orwell's prediction is happening now. The predictable economic crunch is happening now. Ralph Pointer, what's happening?
Well, my brothers and sisters, let me correct our dear sister Betty Davis. The Orwell prediction has happened, and what we are going to go into is the predictable results of American imperialism that will happen. Now, in defense of ourselves, we have to understand that the big crunch economically is coming for our people. And the question is there enough money that the capitalists have stolen from the rest of the world to bring to America? Is there enough? And the answer is, of course there is enough. But they have decided who, or what is that, whom, are the receivers of this money. And their decision is, it is not us. In short, when you look at the pictures of the people on the borders, they are merely not only the pictures of people who want to have a better life, but when you say they want to come to America for a better life, why can't they have a better life where they came from? And the answer is the capitalists. The imperialists took it from them and brought it here. And in the early 60s, there was always an argument, and probably before the 60s, the question of if money can cross borders freely, why is it not that people can cross the same borders freely? Well, we know the answer. They set it up. They take from other countries. That's what imperialism is. And they bring it here. And as Joel Myers has explained to us, the advantage of whiteness in America, the dibs of these wonders that came from abroad here, and they settle for that. And so we are in a situation where reality, what everybody knew, what was predictable, was happening. The people whose countries were raped economically are coming here for the benefits of that rape of the imperialist. What's so confusing about that? Nothing is confusing about that for those who pay attention. And we are here basically as people who want to deal with that reality. And as we have said here and on other programs, living in an unjust society requires resistance. And we attempt to bring issues most important in the struggle against injustices that are suffered daily by people in America. Now, what you must know, Orwell, it was obvious to him what was happening. And here we are when he says they talk about justice, it's really injustice. They talk about education, it's really miseducation. And I can't help it. I'm going to shift to Ron DeSantis in Florida. When he says, we cannot teach, allow them to teach that America is land that was operated by people whose land was stolen, operated by thieves. People came and stole the land from those who were here, even though those who were here were willing to share it. And we won't get into that because that's one horrific story that must be told and will be told, I'm sure, over and over again, straightening out the lies that we were taught about history. Now, without going into depth about the lies, we were talking about history, and as we said, in our resistance to an unjust society, this was a program basically to support our political prisoners. And as you know, we have been talking about raising funds for Matulu Shakur, one of our great political prisoners. And now we've had great news this morning, 9 a.m. Nestor Freeman's program on Voices with Vision. I'm looking at the title, the program that it comes from, and it was this morning, 9 a.m., and we're talking about freeing of Ana Belén Montes. And it has been a long struggle to free Ana Belén Montes, and as Lynn Stewart insisted, while she was in Carswell Federal Medical Prison in Fort Worth, Texas, the same place where Ana Belén Montes was, and the same place where she was not allowed to communicate with Ana Belén Montes, the workers, the women in the prison, those serving time, did everything. They were the plumbers, the electricians, the cleaners, the cooks, etc. And when they learned who Lynn was, when they learned who Ana Belén Montes was, and who Afia Siddiqui was, there was certainly communication that the prison could not stop. And as a result, Lynn said to me, whenever you put out literature on Lynn Stewart, be sure to have include Ana Belén Montes and Afia Siddiqui. Now, being that she was on the inside and I was the political person on the outside, I question whether that would help her. But being a soldier, I included the literature or the issues of Afia Siddiqui and Ana Belén Montes. So at this moment, it gives me great satisfaction to know her coming home date is January the 8th, and I hope you were able to listen in to Nesta Freeman's program, NBLM, National Unity Initiative, this morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so I hope it is archived where you can listen to the program again. Voices with Vision, Tuesdays, 9 a.m., WPFW, 89.3. Go to it and listen. And as I say, my heart is lifted up, and we are talking about political prisoners, which there are too many of, and there will be many more. And in the arena of political struggle, we must understand that the war in the Ukraine is a war of economies. And it is interesting now, looking back, when I think it was Martin Luther King who said way back, you cannot have a war in Vietnam and a war in poverty in America. It does not work, and we know it did not work. The war in Vietnam did not work because Ho Chi Minh and their forces defeated the imperialist forces of America. 500,000 American troops were in Vietnam, and they could not defeat the people, and we are happy for that. And now we are talking about a war against poverty with homelessness, drug addiction, insanity, medical support that we need and we do not have because they have an economic war against people who decided that they will control their own countries, their own resources, and they have listed them, Russia, Iran, China, etc., Korea. They have insisted on their own politics, their own economic situation, and now there is a war. It's draw a line in the sand. It's eyeball to eyeball, economy against economy. And therefore, we must be prepared here because we know when that happens, who loses out first? The poor, the oppressed, black and brown people in America. There will be no resources for us. We must be prepared for that. Along with Orwellian predictions, it is obvious. And this is not Orwellian. This is now, my brothers and sisters. There will be no support for us. We must take what is ours. And we talk about that. We must take our resources that are so-called promised to us. We talk about what are the resources, the money for infrastructure, hospitals, schools, etc.
Affordable housing.
These resources are controlled by others in our community through colonial administrators. They select who we elect. I'm not going to go into it. And I'm going to only conclude with, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Ms. Montez, a Puerto Rican nationalist who supported Cuban independence. And so we will begin this program with our usual Professor Louis. And I'm going to say one more time. I have to open up Professor Louis' microphone. Ana Belen Montez, welcome home. We welcome you with open arms and with joy as we welcome all of our political prisoners. And Professor Louis, will you lighten up the program with your always intellectual and entertaining voice? Professor Louis, your microphone is open.
All right. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
All right. They're coming across the border every day, coming because there is no other way, coming to work for that little piece of pay, coming right here to the USA. And one thing they run from is murder and drugs. We got an endless drug war, but don't start with the hugs, because we still got the thugs. People run from drug gangs every day, but the drugs don't stay. When it's time to pay, those drugs are sold in the USA. Innocent people killed, it's a pity. And the nitty-gritty, the drugs are sold in our country, in cities, and with no customers, there is no sale. No one to buy, no one goes to jail. The whole business would fail, and the guns were made in the USA. Who said it's okay that we sold the guns for their army and cops? didn't care about mom or pops making money from a drug war that never stops, and now the guns are in the hands of crooks. If you took a few looks, it didn't happen like it said in the books, and we hear about the evil Latin drug cartel. Lock 'em in a cell. Don't we got our own cartel as well? When a kid can go downtown and get his crack, straight up, Jack. Can our cops really fight back? Kids find the pusher everywhere. Can't the cops find him anywhere? And it might be strange, but some people's lives got rearranged on account of climate change, hurricanes, floods, wildfires, drought. There's no doubt. When the farm is gone, the family gets out. And how much climate change can a poor family make? No car, no tractor. They hardly got a rake. You could leave it lay. And who drives the most climate change today? You could leave it lay, but the biggest polluter is the USA. And the main thing they run from is poverty. Poverty like we never see, and how that poverty come to be, and who created the refugee. You could say it ain't so, but New Mexico was once just Mexico. Texas, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, and California. Is it history or some kind of game? So many places in the West got Spanish names. Los Angeles, El Paso, San Francisco, Colorado, Las Vegas, San Diego. They were all part of Mexico. We took it all, and you can see how it came to be. Mexicans are foreigners in their own country, and when we had half the Mexican nation, we left the rest to our corporations. Instead of a poor family working the land, passing it down hand to hand, our big companies want to expand, and they went right to the root. It wasn't cute. The family got the boot. Then it belonged to United Fruit. Like a piranha without the drama, whole countries got eaten by Chiquita Banana. And since poor people couldn't pay, they shipped the bananas to the USA. And when cops and soldiers gave the command and the family was off the land, along came something we can all understand. It's not too funny. It's low and crummy. You cannot live without money. When the family had land, they survived somehow. Rice and beans, maybe a cow, a mule and a plow. They had seed and feed, but maybe they never had a deed. For generations, it wasn't something you need, so people come here to make money. No money, no honey. And you could say most of them would stay if there wasn't jobs for them in the USA. The people hiring might never confess, but you don't gotta guess. It's people and companies who want to pay less. And if our law wasn't feeble on hiring illegal, you'd never be seeing all these people. And if they paid good money, they'd get their wishes. It's not delicious, but for $50 an hour, I'd wash dishes. So people come here when they can't pay rent, coming from countries where the government don't got a cent, places where you wonder where the money went. And it's a long list. Something we never shout about, countries whose governments we threw out. Dominican Republic and Chile, Grenada, Panama and Haiti, Guatemala, Nicaragua and Honduras. They never ever did nothing to us, but we changed the governments of these nations because they weren't nice enough to our corporations. And they signed deals like CAFTA and NAFTA, big companies first, people after, and hold the laughter. It's called free trade everywhere. Think about it if you dare to care. Free movement of products, goods, and such. Free movement of people, not so much. That you can't touch. Ford can make cars in Mexico. When their workers come here, it's a no-no. They don't have the dough. Dole got plantations in Ecuador. When their workers come here, we close the door. It's against the law, because in these places, Dole can pay them less. East to west, it's business success, and the money rolls in from all these nations, money made by bankers and giant corporations, and the bank says, it's development, but people in these places don't get a cent because the bank loans money to the government. The government gives the money to their friends, corporation. Here's the situation. Politicians do all right. They take a bite. Big companies get rich, and the people pay it back. It's a sure enough bitch. The bank gets the money back with interest. for the richest people. It's all for the best. They make millions and billions of bucks, carry the money off in trucks, but for working people, it really sucks. And they're coming across the border every day, coming because there is no other way, coming to work for that little piece of pay, coming right here to the USA, running away from poverty. They have got to feed the family. The U.S. created the refugee. They didn't come here for the scenery.
Hey. We must get behind this poetry because the kids love poetry and rhythm. They call it rap. They call it a lot of things, but they don't get this type of poetry. And so we on this program must be dedicated to Professor Louis, who told the whole thing in rap. The program is archived. You can listen to it again. And we're going to promote it again because that is the whole ball of wax, Professor Louis. You hit the nail on the head. And before we go on, we must remember all of those things we talked about in the past. Mutulu Shakur is still in trouble. We have to deal with that. Watch the Jericho website so that you can about that. And Sister Betty.
All right, folks, we need you. If you're all, we opened up several mics because we have a lot of announcements you must hear, things you must do. But it's with great honor that, as usual, we bring in Jericho in the house. We got Jericho in New York. We got Jericho in Boston. We got Jericho all over the place. So, Anne, your mic is open. Comrade Jan, your mic is open. And, of course, we've got a special group about the people, Comrade Sarah and Comrade Tag. Your mics are open. Just remember, try to mute your background noise. In honor of the fact that this is New York City, Jericho's physical location. We're from New York. They're from New York. We're going to open Comrade Ann's mic. Not her mic. We're going to ask her to start off, and then the rest of you will follow after.
All right. Sounds good, Sister Betty. That was a great poem, by the way. I will be brief because I know other people have things to say. One thing is to please go to freerochellemcgee.org. As people may or may not know, Rochelle McGee is the longest-held political prisoner in the world. She has been behind bars for 59 years. So his coalition, which can be found at freerochellemcgee.org, is asking people to sign a petition to Governor Newsom, to write to support Rochelle, to both the governor and I believe the district attorney, and all that information is on their website. So that would be very, very important. I mean, Rochelle McGee has been in prison since 1963 and was originally charged in a dispute over a dime bag of marijuana. So I don't think anybody should have to do 59 years for that. That's one thing. And the other thing is you did mention Mutulu Shakur. Yes, Dr. Mutulu Shakur needs our ongoing support, as Ralph and Betty can tell you when Lynn got out, you know, the struggle to actually get medical care and so on and so forth is difficult. So please go to freemutulushakur.com. Do not go anywhere else. go to freemutulushakur.com or mutulushakur.com and make sure that you donate some money. You can donate by PayPal. You can also donate to another organization if you need your donation to be tax deductible. You know, Mutulu, as people know, is in very bad health. He needs constant care, and it's difficult because when you first come out, you may not have any kind of medical insurance or any such thing, and it takes a while to put those things in place. So people, please remember to be generous to Dr. Mutulu Shakur, because he certainly sacrificed a whole bunch of his life for us. So that's all I have to say for the moment, because I know other people have important announcements to make as well.
Well, thank you so much for that, Anne. And I can't say too much for the poem of Professor Louis. As always, he wraps it up and puts it in a bag we can all carry.
For those of you who don't know, we always donate time for liberation poetry because of our Sister Lynn's love of poetry. I also want to say, Sister Ann, we'll be coming back to you because we understand that Sister Siddiqui is doing a lot around her father, and we'll come back to you if you have any announcements in regard to that. At this time, Comrade Yan, your mic is open if you wish to speak.
I won't take up much time here tonight. The poem, as always, was very inspiring and informative. And let me just echo Anne's words. You know, Mutulu is not behind the wall, but the need to support him, especially with the medical issues right now, is very great. So, you know, do what you can to help the comrade. And what I'll do is I'm going to just step back and as we always say, what's the call? Free them all.
Free them all.
All right. I don't know who
Thank
wants to
so
go
much.
First. Sarah or Tag, your mics are open.
Your mics are open, Sarah and Todd.
All right. Peace. Can you all hear us?
Yes, we hear loud and clear.
This organization is called About the People. I love that title.
Tag, you got your mic unmuted?
Yeah, we hear.
Cool. About the People. We have our first installment, our film coming out this month on the 14th of January. Tag, do you want to start things off?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me just start by saying we really appreciate y'all's platform and y'all being gracious enough to have us on and just the work that y'all have done for such a grip, you know, across the board, not just on these airwaves, but, you know, in the streets and across the board, all of y'all. So greatly appreciated. And of course, the poetry is fire. So shout to Professor Louis. Had the pleasure of hearing some of your work live over the years. It's been a minute since I've had that opportunity, but it's always great to hear you drop those bars. And in fact, so as far as About the People is concerned, we have one of the segments that we focus in on is called Revolutionary Culture. And it's where we highlight precisely that revolutionary culture that we need, you know, as you mentioned, of course, you know, this is how we sustain the work that we need, you know, and we all feel that. So I love the way that ended as far as they didn't come for the scenery. And, you know, if they didn't come here for the scenery, I should say, and if we're able to get up one of these days, if you wanted to record something for About the People, we would absolutely embrace that. So, basically About the People is a grassroots audiovisual project. We're dropping our first installment, as the comrade just said, on January 14th coming up, and it is going to be remotely dropped as well as in person. So we'll be from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll be at Mayday Space in Brooklyn, and I trust that some of y'all may be familiar with Mayday Space. They've been holding it down for some years now in Bushwick, and they've been greatly supportive in what we've been doing as far as meetings and just strategizing there and just a very welcoming space. So the project itself, it flows out of the Spirit of Mandela campaign and coalition, which as ideally as many of y'all that are listening now and will listen to later know, had a tribunal, an international tribunal, charging the U.S. with genocide. Six counts, including genocide itself, and then the five charges of hyperincarceration, environmental racism, healthcare disparities, political imprisonment, and the police violence that these slave patrollers be enacting upon us every single day. And so what About the People is looking to do is to, as compellingly as possible, as directly as possible, as clearly as possible, engage in an intergenerational dialogue through visuals, through sound, you know, through these media that so many of us are accustomed to relating to, really get that out there. Make sure that we're as clear as possible. Okay, genocide is what's going on. It's what's been going on. It's what's going on today. As the theme that y'all have here tonight speaks to, you know, the Orwellian reality that we're up against today. And so we need to continue to expose that. We especially are looking to connect with our Black, Brown, and Indigenous youth comrades, you know, again, just through the kinds of messages, through the kinds of visuals that really resonate. So that's what the project's about in general. And just, again, grateful for the space to connect with y'all on it. And ideally, those of y'all that can hear us will not only, you know, connect at Mayday Space in Brooklyn, or if you're not in the area remotely, we'll have a number of spots where you could check it out remotely. Our first installment, which is called Camp Moon Tikim, and we could get into the particulars of that. But not only that, we're really looking for heads to connect with us directly and be a part of this. This is a project that we're building out gradually, and we would love to, you know, find y'all that are listening now that have interest in producing material, grassroots material directly on the ground, just, you know, showing what it is that we can do to resist this genocide that we're up against right now.
Well, thank you so much for that. And I'm reminded of the poet Sam Archer, who says, all the we is one. And when we get that through our heads, all of we is one, then we will win this struggle. And Sister Betty, will you carry us forward?
I just want to thank Sarah and Tag for being a part of the continuation, Atula Continua. Welcome to the movement that you've been in for some time now, and congratulations on this wonderful project. For those of you who know, and for those of you who don't know, now you know. We also do WBAI, which is the People's Free Access Radio Program. We'll be on tomorrow night, and comrades Sarah and Tag will be making this announcement again. If you missed anything, if you couldn't take notes, you can catch up with us tomorrow on 99.5 FM WBAI Pacifica Radio. It's at 8 o'clock. The program is from 8 to 8:55, and at some point around 8:20 or 8:30, our comrade Sarah and or Tag will be on to repeat this announcement. This is a happening. You talk about what's happening, this is a happening. And this particular production deals with one of our political prisoners, Jalil Matakim. We are our own liberators. The author of this wonderful book. So please, please, follow up. If you miss this one, you will be out of it. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have anything more you want to say, you know my text, just text me, and we'll put you back on tonight. All right, we're going to move right on. We've got some other warriors. I want to say to people, Professor Louis is someone who's been in the struggle a long time. I believe before the Panthers, there were the Deacons of Defense in the deep, deep South who supported people like Fannie Lou Hamer, and Professor Louis was there. So he got his prop, and we honor him because he loves struggle.
And we're going to support him on this one big time, because I think this is a hit with the youth. We've been trying to get the young people to walk up and down the street and repeating this. Let's jump on it. Sister Betty.
All right. We're going to go to someone formerly a member of the Youth Against War and Fascism and a member of the anti-war coalition in against Vietnam oppression. And I respect him because he went to prison and he came out still in favor of fighting the good fight. Professor Joel, your mic is open, and thanks for joining us. Want to remind everybody, we've got a long list. We're going to extend the time, but please be mindful so we can get all our comrades in. There's a lot of announcements that have to go out tonight. The struggle is heating up. We're in trouble, folks. We got to come together and fight strategic. Joel, your mic is open. Thank you.
The struggle is really heating up around the world. We're getting a tremendous degree of escalation of the conflict in Ukraine. I hope everyone is watching that and understands what's really going on. It's nothing but imperialist aggression and provocation, giving and a war on the Russian border, really aimed ultimately to spread throughout the Russian Federation. And when they talk about this, especially the neocons, they talk about this as necessary in order for the United States and its imperialist allies to seize Central Asia, which they claim is the necessity for the United States to become the one unipolar superpower and so on. We can't let that happen. And people, the general public is being severely misled on it, and especially the Democrats are gung-ho, not just, I'm talking about the Democratic Party leaders, not just in favor of the war. It's not just rhetorical, but they're giving billions and billions of dollars in arms aid to heat that thing up, and it looks like it can explode into a World War III, because they're showing both sides of backing down, and we see the Democratic Party down to some people's favorite, AOC, right? She's she also voted for the billions of dollars, and as Ralph pointed out in the earlier part, there's going to be a war against the world, or a war against poverty, not both, because the object of that war on the part of the U.S. is to inflict poverty on the world, and the rest of the world is fighting to eliminate poverty and to eliminate imperialism and have a truly human life. Now, more locally, the alarming thing that very few people have noticed has been Mayor Eric Adams' instructions to the police on so-called mentally ill. And when this has gone over, the significance of it is completely missed. Usually, if it's gone over at all, such as on BAI, where it's been mentioned a few times, they call it, well, they're going to harass the homeless people with that order. But the order is that the police have been instructed on their own, and that means down to the individual police officer, to take into custody anyone that they think might be mentally ill. Now, you have a police force that has a lot of mental illness inside of it, actually led by an outlook and and imperialist orders and training to inflict mental illness on the entire world. That is, convert everything into the money of the especially of the large property owners, the big bankers, and eliminate the humanity of everyone else. That's what they're really enforcing. But this makes it clear, and it's a clear escalation. It used to be that, yes, they could take people in to custody for mental illness, but there had to be a probable cause that these people were imminently a danger to themselves or to others, that is, homicidal or suicidal. And Eric Adams' order coming down from City Hall, but probably coming down from much higher up than City Hall, because Eric Adams is just a puppet, and at any rate, they're actually planning to implement such a policy, and almost all of the other agencies of the city that have anything to say about it have said that they support the entire idea. And what they're saying is, well, we have to get these homeless people off the streets, but that's not the only thing. The order is not restricted only to homeless people. It could be, according to the way that it's been formulated, it can apply to anyone, and it could be the rationale for a massive roundup. It's the biggest circumvention of due process in criminalizing people. It's an entire circumvention. There's no due process on this. And already that's a very big hole in due process, because people can be incarcerated without a trial at all because mental illness is not part of criminal law. It's something that any two physicians could be at this point, even what the law is, can commit somebody to a mental institution. It's called the 2PC principle. But again, it was supposed to be restricted only to people that show imminent signs of being harmful to themselves or others, suicidal or homicidal. Otherwise, they're not supposed to be able to lock people up without, but again, that now, according to this order, is being eliminated as a restriction and a guideline, and it's a very big escalation. It criminalizes anyone that a cop thinks could be mentally ill. Probably that in many cases that means who suspects of continuing to hang on to some degree of sanity, because that's what they think is mentally ill. That's not all of them, but as a collective force, that is how they are trained, and a lot of them are also drugged with the power of being able to do things like that, and they get off on it. So it's a very dangerous situation, and no attention is being paid to it at all. It's just taken for granted, it shows that the attack abroad is part of a unified attack at home and abroad. And people on this call are largely woken up to what this system is all about. But the consciousness has to be spread as much as possible to the masses, and especially those that are to some degree conscious and are experiencing the oppression of the system, but to everyone that is not committed at this point, have to be made aware of the danger and begin to fight back on every level, because this is coming down very quickly right now. And the context of a possible emergent World War III is polarizing people more and more, so that it have like a war against the world that doesn't include the people at home, and especially the oppressed people, people that are racially oppressed, and so on. This is what the people that are in political prison now are in prison because at an earlier stage they can already see what the dangers are, and to see that human survival requires a revolution that brings about a new system that's really based on human needs and on humanity not on insanity and not on the profits for bankers that are now counting their money not in the billions anymore, but in the trillions. And it's something that's that the entire world has to stand up against and can't be done just on a piecemeal basis. And the consciousness to do that is a prerequisite. So masses of people could be aware of how we're being targeted, but we can win because everything that they do, whatever power they seem to have, is all based on the complicity of the masses. And as soon as we're not complicit any longer, for example, the recent taking away by Democratic-led Congress with the Democrats in the forefront of sick pay for the people that operate the railroads, again, with very little very little opposition in general. And they're saying, well, you don't have the right to strike. But let's face it, if the rail workers said, we don't, watch this, and walked out, the transportation system could be shut down. And just by doing that, it would show the power of the power that the working people have once they move, and it would serve as an example for others that are afraid or asleep or think that it's impossible to fight back. Because
Professor Joel, that says it about all. System based on humanity, not on insanity. And what you're talking about is the power of the people, the workers, to stop work. It's called the power of the strike, and they're taking that away because they have been able to take it away from people's minds. And so, like I say, this would be a chapter in your class on political awareness in America, and we're going to have to cut it off there unless you have 10 seconds to finish it.
I cut it off already.
Oh, cut you off already?
I just said a strike is a walkout when we stop our labor for their benefit just stop our labor. But we also have to go to work to replace the entire capitalist system, and that means not just going on strike, but taking the initiative on every front to make sure that the real criminals that run the world are locked up where they belong.
Thank you so much for that. I think that is put the real criminals on the inside and free our political people on the inside to come out and educate us.
Okay, we want to go back to the next generation who's trying to help us educate our communities. So I want to go to the About the People organizers. I want to make sure that people know how to contact them. If you want to join a group that's trying to do exactly what Comrade Joel is telling us, and please don't forget the role of the railroads in the Irish Revolution. Please check out your history books on that one. That was the positive use. But remember the role of the railroads in one of the European Holocausts in Europe, okay, to Auschwitz, to Treblinka. Don't forget the role of the railroads. So they already know what they have in store for us. They just keep repeating the same script. Okay, Sister Sarah, your mic is open. You want to give us another one? Because we've got Comrade Bilal waiting in the wings. I hope I opened up the right microphone. Please forgive me, Sarah. Just give me one more second. There you go. Your mic is open. I apologize.
Hello. Peace, everybody.
Hello. We hear you loud and clear.
Okay, cool. If people want to reach out to About the People, you can email us at aboutthepeople1312 aboutthepeople13@gmail.com, aboutthepeople1312@gmail.com. And also you can go to our Linktree website, which is linktr.ee/aboutthepeople, linktr.ee/aboutthepeople. And there you'll find our YouTube channel, a trailer to the film, and our social media links and our emails up there as well. So we just want to thank you all again for having us, and all power to the people.
All right. We want to thank you. And without further ado, we've got another comrade in the wings. I'm going to let Ralph introduce him, since he knows the role Lynn played, Lynn Stewart, that is, as his attorney. Bilal Suni Ali, your mic is open. Ralph?
Yes, Bilal, your mic is open. Give us your wisdom this evening.
Thank you very much, Ralph and Betty. Assalamu alaikum, free the land. I'm here calling from Belize, but I'm in touch on a daily basis with my brother and comrade, Dr. Mutulu Shakur. And just want to echo what those have said, that he's in dire need of support. But I want to make sure that I tell people that the Bureau of Prisons medical report is all full of shit. That Mutulu Shakur walked out of prison 3 weeks. This Friday will be 3 weeks. He walked out. He did not have to be carried out. He did not need somebody to hold his hand walking out. He walked out of prison. He got on a plane, and he went to see his, spent the day in Atlanta with his mother, and then he got on the plane again and went to California, where he is there now with his son, and his son, two of his sons are there, and a lot of family was there in the beginning, but he has comrades who are comrades of his and close friends of his who are also doctors of natural medicine and doctors of acupuncture, and he's been given a special regimen and treatment that coincides with the pharmaceutical and detoxes him from the pharmaceutical. And the report from Dr. Hirano is that he is doing very well in responding to the treatment. He is gaining weight. He's full of life and full of life and laughter, extremely happy that he is free, and thankful to all who had a part in bringing about his freedom. So we want to continue his treatment, and it's costing more than we expected because it called for people to be on the scene and people to be on the scene and more people to continuously be on the scene and to help with that treatment. And so I just wanted to make it clear that there were reports, some people had it, that Mutulu was coming home to die. Well, we all have to die at some point, but I think we're pretty certain at this point that he's going to follow the same footsteps as Lynn Stewart did, that he's going to come home and continue to struggle. He's coming home and to struggle.
Well, I can tell you how it makes me feel inside. Wonderful, wonderful report, Bilal Suni Ali, a true revolutionary who knows what it's all about, who saw what was wrong and did something about it and maintained his position in the struggle. That is to continue. Thank you for that.
Did
so
you
much.
Want to throw in a word for the imam while you're at it, comrade?
Yes, while I'm at it, I want to say that the Fulton County Conviction Integrity Unit has had an interview with Otis Jackson. He's also known by several other names, but he is the person who claims responsibility for the shooting of two sheriff deputies on the night of March 16th, 2000, for which Imam Jamil has been locked up for nearly 23 years. This coming March 16th will be 23 years that Imam Jamil has been locked up for this shooting. The Conviction Integrity Unit has interviewed this person, which did not get any word about it during the trial. So they have the power to order a new trial or to completely exonerate and free Imam Jamil, and that's what we are urging them to do and encouraging them to do. And we try to let them know as often as possible that the world is on their side, that Atlanta is on their side, the community is on the side, and they should go ahead and take that courageous step and deal with the truth of the matter and free Imam Jamil, free them all.
Well, thank you for that, revolutionary soldier, Bilal Sunni Ali, and good luck where you are in the new year. We must organize not only ourselves, but the world. Thank you again.
All right. We want to thank all of our comrades who are helping us get the word out. We do not have this program because we have nothing else to do. Program are not here because they have nothing else to do. We are here because we have to be here to bring them home. I cannot think about how many times I was at a protest and there was somebody there who went all the way to confront the Army of Occupation, laughingly called the police. And it made all the difference to the struggle. But they pay the price because they were the ones who were arrested. They're the ones during time, and we've got to bring them home. The script that the gangsters who run our lives play out is the same with each generation. That is what you find out if you study history. Thank you. If you think what the Nazis did with euthanasia can touch what the corporations did with COVID, you know, study your history. Without further ado, Comrade Henry Higgins, your mic is open. Henry, your mic is open.
I hear the clicking of
Thank you, Sister and Brother Ralph. I'd like to focus tonight on a comrade from some years ago named Ann Braden. She was born in 1924 and joined the ancestors in 2006. Ann Braden was an American civil rights activist, journalist, and educator dedicated to the cause of racial equality. She and her husband, Carl, bought a suburban home for an African-American couple during the Jim Crow era. White neighbors burned crosses and bombed the house. During McCarthyism, Ann was charged with sedition. She wrote and organized for the Southern Civil Rights Movement before violations became national news. Ann was among the nation's outspoken white anti-racist activists organizing across racial lines and environmental, women's, and anti-nuclear movements. As long as people of color can be written off as expendable and therefore acceptable victims of the most extreme inequities, none of the basic ingredients of our society will be addressed. They will only get worse. And I just wanted to remind people that Ann Braden and her husband took a courageous position in trying to tear down the walls of racism in Kentucky and elsewhere.
Well, thank you for that, Henry. Would you repeat that last sentence? Her prediction.
Okay. As long as people of color can be written off as expendable and therefore acceptable victims of the most extreme inequities, none of the basic inequities of our societies will be addressed. They will only get worse.
There you have it, my brothers and sisters. Thank you so much, Henry Higgins. Sister Betty.
I just want to remind people that black people of that era spoke in almost a code language. They could not say what we say today, but they were saying the same thing. She was talking about inequities. Anytime you are the victim of homelessness to the extent that people of color are in this country, you're the victim of lack of medical care as people are in this country. You're the victim of being shot by the police every 28 hours as people are in this country by the Army of Occupation. That can be classified as extreme inequity.
And we must not accept their definition of comrade. Our definition of comrade is not based on color.
All right.
Thank you.
Without further ado, we're going to go to another part of the country. We're going to go to the Midwest. Comrade, your mic is open. Sayero.
Yes, I would like you to, I'll come after Commander Potts. He's on the line out of Mississippi, if you would. Did you need her
what
number?
Are the last?
Huh?
Yes, please. I don't see her on our. I do. I apologize. Okay, her mic is open. Mic is open. All right, Commander Potts, your mic is open. We'll come back to you, Comrade Fierro. All right, Commander Potts' party is here to give us an update on the Mississippi or all of the water crises. Commander Potts, your mic is open.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you doing today?
We're fine. We want to know how you and yours in Mississippi are doing today.
Well, the city of Jackson has been dealing with water woes once again since Christmas Eve. So people woke up on Christmas with no water.
Oh, God.
Man.
And under boil water notice, so some people didn't even have water to boil. So we have been back out handing out water once more. We had a big freeze last week, so now the pipes are busted. So you got places that's flooding inside of their businesses, or they had to turn their water completely off to keep them from flooding.
And I'm screaming here. I'm hurting on the inside. Trillions are going to Ukraine, and they can't deal with the water lines in Jackson, Mississippi. The people who were the root, the finance base for capitalism in the new and old world. Excess profits came from cotton and slavery, and yet this American government says that they cannot fix the water lines because it was an exceptionally or unusual freeze in Mississippi. Well, what was it in Ukraine that all of the Democrats and earlier on in this program, the so-called progressive Democrats, voted for the money in the Ukraine? And it takes me back to Martin Luther King, who said, you can't have a war in Vietnam and a war in poverty. Well, the people of Vietnam won their revolution. We have to fight and win our revolution so that there is no question about waking up Christmas morning with water. Continue.
Yes, sir. So it's been very stressful for the citizens of Jackson, Mississippi. We have a lot of elders, people with facilities like nursing homes, things of that nature, don't have water. So the city is working with other organizations, Mississippi Rapid Response and Mississippi Move, and we're all just basically trying to get together to get them toilet flushing water because people can't flush their toilets, and also trying to get them drinking water as well. So it's rough because it happened during Kwanzaa as well. So.
Yes, I'm just thinking of the cowardly caucus of congressmen of color who voted for the trillions for Ukraine with no consideration, no restraints, saying, I will not vote for this. I will not vote for the budget extension unless you do something for our people all over the country, and particularly in the Mississippi Delta. Can you imagine Jackson, Mississippi, the capital of Mississippi, with no water, and these people that we call representatives are voting to move the government forward, to move the Ukrainian struggle forward, and never mind you and I at home. We must deal with that. This is no longer acceptable, and we must bring those people home. Let them get a job. Let us stop voting and supporting those people who have no consideration for those they supposedly represent. And I'm thinking of Joe Peery in Chicago, who's talking about the homeless and says, we're not powerless, we're just homeless, and we're going to extend that power. And we have to start looking at that formula all over this country, in education. And here we go to the basic, water. Sister Betty.
All right, Sister Potts, give us our marching orders. What do you need people to do right now?
Basically, just start calling our city capital and calling our representative and getting national attention. We have a saying here where we do more Monday, and we say free the land, clean the water, and keep it public.
All right, free the land, clean the water, keep it public, and wherever you are, you have a representative. Talk to them, because they are still afraid of Mr. Trump. They're going to come to us for our votes to stop Mr. Trump. They're going to come to us for our votes to stop Ron DeSantis. That's the next enemy of the people. And we must have demands. And Jackson, Mississippi must be one of our demands. Let us deal with the most basic of elements of the way of life. That is water. Thank you, Sister Pratt. Sister Betty.
Do you still have the same donation link? If you do, please give it.
Yes, ma'am. It is Cash App, the $ Mississippi Girl, G-I-R-L, the number 82.
Repeat that.
Cash App sign, Mississippi Girl, that's G-I-R-L, 82, the number 82.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you giving us an update. Always, always feel free to use us that way. And please take care of yourself. We know you were not well for a bit. You got to pace yourself. You got to be in for the long struggle. Long struggle. All right, we've got another comrade. Folks, we're getting down to the wire. Please be conscious of how long you're speaking. We've got a few people from the other parts of the country that need to talk. Your mic is open. 215-2154. Your mic is open. Hello, your mic is open.
Hello.
Yes, we hear you. Tom Syracuse, we hear you.
Okay. In 1967, during the Vietnam War, Martin Luther King Jr. called the U.S., quote, the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. After that speech, ILWU Local 10 invited him to speak at the union meeting where he was awarded honorary member status. A year after his anti-war speech, he was assassinated. The United States has been in a state of perpetual warfare since World War II. The Ukraine war, provoked by United States-NATO aggression, is a dangerous preliminary war jeopardizing a massive nuclear contamination, the largest nuclear plant in Europe, and can lead to a nuclear war against Russia. After the fall of the Soviet Union, Secretary of State James Baker promised not to threaten Russia's security by moving NATO towards Russia's borders. That agreement has been broken time and time again by the United States. In 2014, a United States-driven coup in the Ukraine overthrew an elected government that had friendly relations with Russia and burned down the trade union headquarters building in Odessa, killing 48 people. In opposition to the coup, two Russian-speaking provinces of in eastern Ukraine, Donetsk and Luhansk, seceded from the Ukraine. The democratic right to self-determination from the nationalist Kiev government, which banned the Russian language, must be recognized. The neo-fascist, neo-Kiev regime opened fire on the two newly founded republics in the Donbas region, killing over 15,000 civilians. African immigrants in Ukraine attempting to flee the war were subjected to racial discrimination by the Zelensky government. Zelensky's government just passed a law meaning that 70% of Ukraine workers cannot have unions to negotiate collective bargain agreement or fight an employer's firing of workers. This anti-union law is opposed by the Ukraine's Federation of Trade Union. Zelensky was welcome to speak before Congress, despite the fact that this Kiev regime has neo-Nazis and anti-Semites. Here we have a situation, a very, very dangerous situation, and we are continuing this. Our government is continuing to subsidize this racist regime, and including heavy duty weaponry. Zelensky appears before Congress and given a standing ovation, which is disgusting. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for that, Tom Syracuse. And we ask, where are the American unions on this issue? Well, they're in the same places they have been recently. And I remember many years ago discussing a half revolution, a change of the social system, a improvement of what we have. And the answer was, the government giveth and the government taketh away. The unions came and fought, and now we are seeing that is taken away, but we are not seeing the resistance of unions on the whole. We are in trouble here, my brothers and sisters. Sister Betty.
Okay, before we go to Comrade Seattle, we have one more from another part of the country. I think we're down south. I'm sorry, Comrade Ralph, for interrupting you. We want to get everybody in. Okay, 8812. Your mic is open. You want to give us a brief statement before we go back to Brother Sierra, whom we interrupted? Your mic is open.
You interrupted Brother Ralph, and we will go to Brother Sierra afterward. Sister Mavis, your microphone is open. 8812.
Yeah, free the land.
Free the land.
By any means. Yeah, Brother Ralph, Sister Betty. It's great listening to your show always. Professor Lewis's poem was amazing. And Baba Bilal Sunni Ali's poem also, especially is extremely touching, and I'm thrilled, we are thrilled to hear the news, the good news.
Well, thank you so much for that. And Brother Sierra, your microphone is open.
Well,
hello. Yes.
How are you?
Oh, yes, Uhuru. I'd like to make two announcements first, and then I'm going to ask that next week, you give me a little more extended time because I have three passages to read from. One from 70 years, which goes along with the Orwell's prediction is happening now. And then Vanguard by Chairman O'Malley Yesitella, as well as from the burning spear, colonizer nation is guilty of atrocities around the world. Colonized peoples must resist. I'll go on with this first announcement based on the crunch time. Here we have Black is Back Coalition, a year in review, Saturday. Everybody get your pens out. January the 7th, 2023, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to tinyurl.com/BIB year end. That's BIB year end. Black is Back Coalition, tinyurl.com/BIB year end. And that's, again, it's going to be this Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sister Betty and Brother Ralph will be there in attendance because they're part of the coalition. And we're asking you all to attend because right now we need to pay attention to each one of our positions as we move forward. Uhuru. Free them all. I want you to take your pens out again for handsoffuhuru.org. That's handsoffuhuru.org. If you recall, on Friday, July the 29th, the FBI raided the African People's Socialist Party as well as the Uhuru movement in several places. They were in one side of St. Louis was the Uhuru movement. Another side of St. Louis, East St. Louis, was the chairman and his wife, owner of Yesitella. And in St. Petersburg, Florida, they raided the radio station, Black Power Radio Station 96, and they also raided the home of the director of agitation and propaganda for the Burning Spear newspaper, Director Akile Inai. They're all considered. It's Conrad Penny Hess, that's Conrad Director Akile Inai, and the chairman and his wife, as well as a brother Jesse. I forgot Jesse's last name, but of the Uhuru movement. These indictments will be coming down soon. We know this. And we're asking everyone, because we also have mass rallies or mass Zooms that come up periodically, please sign up for handsoffuhuru.org. Whatever you can contribute will be much necessary. It'll be your talent. That'd be your social media skills, whatever. This needs to be broadcast and needs to be focused on. As you well know, and we all know, what happens is when you have organizations that are standing opposite of the colonial mode of production, talking about dual and contending powers, or you're discussing self-determination projects, that means do it yourself, get away and separate from an enemy, which would be the colonial mode of production, or colonizers, or the colonial imperialists, or the colonial politicians, like the Benny Thompson that you just mentioned, the coward, who won't do anything for Jackson, Mississippi, period. But he cowers as a chairman sitting up there prop like a prop. He was a prop, with his head shaking up and down like a cow for the January 6th committee. So that I did want to stress, and this is about maybe my time, but I definitely would like more time next week to discuss Orwell's prediction, if it's okay, is happening now, and then tie that into Vanguard by the Chairman O'Malley, yes, I tell her, as well as the colonizer nation is guilty of atrocities around the world. Colonized peoples must resist, and this is a Burning Spear December issue. It's the point of the spear, written by Chairman O'Malley, yes, I tell her. So I would like to have that time next week. Uhuru.
Uhuru, freedom. And certainly do that because it is important to understand now we are in trouble because we see a lot of the war on the ground reported by the corporate media. That is not the gravamen. That is not the basis of this situation, although we appreciate life, the loss of life in Ukraine, in Russia, but the loss of a world is what's at stake here because this is an economic struggle. The United States figured that they would break Russia easily, economically, and then because Russia would be destroyed economically, they would take over the world. But the rest of the world understands what America is about. And before, a few years before this, this was the rest of the world decided to set up an economic union. It was China, Iran, Brazil, Turkey, etc., setting up their own economic situation because it is a one-world economy. Remember, the British used to say, the sun never sets on the British Empire. What that means, my brothers and sisters, as the British had their fingers in the world pot of resources, they controlled it. And we must understand that, like slavery, to become a member of an occupied colony is not a volunteer situation. You became a slave through force. You became an occupied country through force. What is force? We cannot tell you about that force. It is too cruel. The terror that went into making one a colonial subject, making one a slave. But now we are in the throes of this particular situation. We must understand it and band together in union struggles, in struggles of philosophy, together to get out of this situation, to improve it. And we're talking about the result of colonialism, that is the people trying to cross the border to get food, to educate the people trying to cross the border into a new America, not the old America that is based on color, that is based on whiteness. My brothers and sisters, tune in tomorrow, 99.5 on your FM radio, and listen to more when we are able to talk to another audience on this situation.
Just want to remind people of what Joel said. Please try to remember what Brother Joel told us about colonial administrator Eric Adams and his plan with the hospitals and the so-called mentally ill. This is the script right out of Hitler's playbook. Mein Kampf is here.
Good night, my brothers and sisters. Much love in the new year. Much togetherness.